Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 127. We're getting up there in age, apparently.
Yep.
We are going to do an episode this week focused on the success of the Veronica Mars Kickstarter. But before we become members of Neptune High and introduce our classmates, we have Wessie.
Wait, what the heck's Neptune High?
That's where Veronica Mars went to school, isn't it?
Okay, full admission, I've never seen Veronica Mars. So...
I could be wrong, but I believe that's where she... Yeah, it is where she went to school. Okay.
I've never seen Veronica Mars. I know of Beverly... Of, like, any other high school, but never heard of Neptune High. So...
We have Ashley.
I have nothing funny to say today, so just get on with it.
We have Trent.
Hi. This is my first official... podcast thing, I guess.
Yay!
And we have Nicias.
I am the Highlander. I cannot die.
That no, movie, you're not.
Hold on. The Highlander, that movie, The Highlander, the original. None of those crap sequels or whatever. The original, based on my life. It was a documentary. It was filmed in real time. They just
there
had
were
to
mountains.
Me. They had to replace me because they didn't want it to be.
I don't think it's based
exactly.
on anyone. There can only be one, though, right? So how can one guy pretend to be the Highlander?
Well, because they could have put me in the film. They said I wasn't tall enough.
Oh Lord! Oh Lord, have mercy!
And I said, well, that's fair. And they also said we can understand you when you talk, so that's not what we're looking for. They wanted someone who was very difficult to understand, so that's why they got Christopher Lambert.
I'm Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod.
You know, the most Scottish person in existence, him, yes.
I can't do a Scottish accent. I tried.
Not Scottish.
I am not Scottish.
Hold on. And then the best part, they got an actual Scottish guy to play a Spanish man.
Yeah.
Yes, but Sean Connery played that Spanish man to the hilt, by golly. He played...
Because there's swords, hilt.
Shot. Yes. I did not even realize I made that pun. I have been on a roll of just making puns without realizing it.
Listen, it's been a while since I saw that movie, just because I don't really feel like rehashing my life sometimes. But is that the movie where he starts talking about losers fucking the prom queen? Or is it the other way around?
Wait a second.
I don't remember how that
the
works.
The scene that the song Princes of the Universe is based around you?
Oh, yeah. Dude, Queen. I was the inspiration for Queen.
Okay, it makes sense.
Not just that song. I mean Queen in general. I was the one who told Freddie. I was like, hey, Freddie, you should look into this singing thing.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay. But none of this has anything to do with what we're supposed to be talking about this week.
No.
But what's better?
Which is apparently revivals of old TV shows via crowdfunding. And this came about after last week when... Rob Thomas and Kristen Bell started a Kickstarter to fund a movie for Veronica Mars. Apparently, they got the go-ahead from Warner Brothers to do this, and if it worked, they would, you know, help with distribution and marketing and stuff like that. They needed to raise $2 million in a month, and they ended up raising, I believe they hit the $2 million mark in the first 24 hours.
In the first 10 hours.
Yeah.
People like Veronica Mars.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, and we'll kind of get to it as we go through. People like Veronica Mars, but it's also one of those things where it's a very niche show and it has its audience because, I mean, it's only been funded by, 57,000 people, so a lot of people. But, I mean, if that was a TV show, that wouldn't be a pimp on the rating scale or anything like that. So, it's enough people who are interested in seeing this movie that they've invested their money into it. So, of course, with the success of this Kickstarter, you know, there has been people have come out of the woodworks with their TV shows and wanted to kickstart it. You've had, you know, producers, developers, actors all talking about their projects and stuff like that. So we're going to focus on some of the ones we wanted to, you know, we would like to see and stuff like that. I would mention one that just popped into my head because I think it's really odd. But,
hold on a second, Earl, before you get to, I have an update. The Veronica Mars Kickstarter, which started March 13th and ends April 12th, has 57,069 backers, and with 23 days to go, has raised $3,733,248.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Dang.
It's just very impressive. I mean, You know, it's a lot of neat prizes as well. Like, some people, I think one person gets to be in the movie. A couple of people are going to get to go to the premiere. They're going to have screenings in your hometown.
And I'm sure all those investors are going to share in the profits of the film, right?
No. which is always kind of the thing with Kickstarter. A lot of people are, you know, like, some people are against it. You're invested in a project that you're not invested in. because you don't make, you know, if Veronica Mars comes to theaters and makes $20 million, you don't get any of that funding the film. Actually, I would assume at that point it goes to Warner Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very low risk for them because they're not paying to make this movie. They're only paying to market it. And it's going to have a very limited run. So whatever, it's pretty much pure profit for them. Because, I mean, even if they run advertisement for that, if the advertisements would be done by the people who paid to see the movie anyhow a year and a half before it. It hasn't even started production yet. It starts production this summer for release next year. I was going to say the one that came to mind was Zachary Levi wants to do a Kickstarter for Chuck.
Oh, Chuck. And the show that almost could.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I find that confusing is because Chuck had a final season. Chuck knew it was ending.
It did know it was ending, but the way they ended it wasn't the way they exactly wanted to end it. So that's why it kind of popped in. That's why it's been something they would have loved to revisit Chuck for like at least one more year, but.
Yeah.
They kind of had just wrap it up and just figure out.
I think if you tell a show producer, like, you have 13 episodes left to finish up whatever you want to finish up, I think that they'll conclude the main premise of the series, but a lot of the subplots won't get resolved. And I think that's where a lot of fans have contention.
Yeah, but the problem with Chuck's finale, and I was a fan of Chuck. I've seen the finale. It wasn't that they decided not to wrap up the subplots. It's the fact that they decided to kind of reboot the franchise in the last episode, which it's like if you're gonna go out and you're not. Why make this ending? Because this ending was kind of like what happens to them now, and it's like you can't come back and say like we want to kind of give you a proper ending when you kind of screwed up the ending the first time. Like if you have 13 episodes. For better or worse, work with that 13 episodes to make sure it's the ending that you're going to be satisfied with.
Well, but the problem at this point is because the standard has been set where, for all they know, in a few years they could, you know, oh, we suddenly want a movie of this, or, oh, we want to go back to the series. I mean, things are getting brought back. Things are getting done in television and comic form. To the point that, I mean, everything has to be, to a certain extent, open-ended. Angel, the end of Angel, which was another situation where they basically got told, okay, you have half a season to wrap up this entire show, and led to them not being able to give certain characters the time to develop that they wanted to, and, you know, chase down some of the subplots that they had come up with. But they still ended it with this ending where it was like, okay, well, you know, the one character is dead. But if we go somewhere from here, we still have room to play with it. And then they did an awful comic series that they basically ended up completely writing out of existence.
I hate After the Fall.
Yeah, I agree with this. It was bad. It was so bad.
Oh,
poor Wes. And that's the thing, though. Like, I remember listening to an interview once with Joss Whedon, and he said, up to that point, I had ended every single one of my seasons for every television show I worked on as though that would be the last season.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just the one show where they said, you know, let's just hypothesize that we can continue this in one way or another, you know? But I don't think he has any restraint when he dips into comic territory. That's why season 8 of Buffy is so random.
Season 8 of Buffy is like, Giant Dawn. Okay. Dawn's now like a centaur?
Dawn's a centaur, and suddenly, Xander has become, this leader of, 40 slayers that
travel. He's Nick Fury!
It's weird.
He's become Nick Fury. He became Nick Fury.
Exactly. He even has only one eye.
And the series gets even. I mean, if you and then you see like the season 9 they did, it's just gotten weirder. I haven't read much of it, but I've read little bits and pieces of it, and I go.
Yeah,
okay.
There's something to that, though. I feel like the good thing about television is that it's kind of a constraining media. Like, you're forced to only kind of do certain types of story arcs because that's the media itself, right? And mm-hmm. as soon as he had the freedom to write about anything that could be drawn instead of live-acted, ugh.
Yeah, and before he had the actors looking at him and saying, yeah, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, there was input, yeah.
I would love to see the actors who were on Buffy back in the day reading some of those comics and go.
There is actually a red carpet interview with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, your character's gay now.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Her.
Yes. After they did the issue where Buffy had a lesbian experience with one of the others.
Yeah.
And yes, she's like, on the red carpet, and she's asked. She's asked about, you know, did you know that Buffy got it on with a girl? And her eyes went wide, and she went, "Was it Willow?"
That's awesome.
It was not Willow.
Yeah, it was not Willow. But
How did that
But yeah, I was gonna say that reminds me because in recent memories, I remember 24 and I remember Entourage were both shows that ended with movies in mind, so that it didn't give you a satisfying conclusion. And then what happened was the movies are stuck in limbo. I think they kind of finally pulled the plug on the 24 movie after 5 years, and I think the Entourage movie is just being bought up again. But it's like
in development.
As far as I know, it's still in development, so they're still doing something with it, but there hasn't been anything said outside of just, yep, working on it.
Would it be ironic or appropriate if they never make an Entourage movie? Or wait, no, I got this.
It'd be both?
It would be good if they never made an Entourage movie.
I think it would. I couldn't stand watching Entourage because I feel like there's enough douchebags in my normal life.
Exactly.
Well, Entourage is an interesting show to watch because it does have an extremely unlikable set of main characters. But I was a huge fan of Ari and Drama. Everybody else can probably go to hell. It's kind of like How I Met Your Mother, where I find the main character to be the most uninteresting person on the show and actually kind of hate them.
See, I actually I used to like Ted a lot because I felt like I could really understand his plight. But as time has gone on, it's like I feel the same way towards Ted's predicament as I do towards Taylor Swift's writing. In that,
oh, God.
No, allow me to make this allusion.
Yeah, go for it.
So Ted has been looking for a woman for 9 years now. It has been 9 years. And you take a step back and you say, you're the problem. And to the same effect, Taylor Swift has written 50 songs about ex-boyfriends. And it's like you take a step back and you say, you're the problem, right?
I saw something online earlier that said Taylor Swift should date Adele. And then when they break up, they'll have like the biggest
song ever.
Best song ever. It'll be like R. Kelly meets Jay-Z, but good.
I want to see this happen.
Except, wait, no, it won't.
Universe, make this happen.
I still kind of ship her with Kanye.
Do we ship these people?
I ship Taylor Swift, Kanye West.
Oh, in my dreams. I can only imagine the Kanye album that would come out of that.
Think about the bed talk. I'm sorry, I'm going to let you finish, but...
Baby, I like you. I'm going to let you finish. Beyonce had one of the best orgasms of all time.
Oh, it's funny because it's gross.
When they tell us to another Shakespeare play wrong somehow. She's ready to think about Othello, where Othello didn't strangle someone to death.
I'm trying to picture the song she would write after they broke up, and
I think she already has, hasn't she? I Knew You Were Trouble. Isn't that fair?
Yeah, go for it. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. So back to topic.
Which
you haven't even touched yet.
No, we have not touched it yet. Outside of discussing Kanye West touching Taylor Swift.
That is what I want to start a Kickstarter for.
How much money do you think it would take?
I don't know, but I'm willing to find out.
I'm sure other people are too. We can make this happen, guys.
Back on the subject of Kickstarter.
KanyeTaylorSwift.com, GoFundMe. Kickstarter.com.
No, I think we should do an Indiegogo.
Kanye and Taylor Swift.com Indiegogo.
And Kickstarter.
Kickstarter's slightly more hickish cousin.
Did you say more hickish?
Yeah, I wasn't sure I was going to go with it. I just knew that. I could say slightly more hipster cousin.
Oh, you're killing him. You're killing him.
Kickstarter's pretty hipster as it is.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so hey, yeah, so shows that we would want back for crowdsourced finales.
Kickstarter finales.
Well, I mean, yeah, it could either be finales for shows that didn't get a proper ending or something that, you know, like some shows just kind of get booted off the air before they really get a chance to develop and go on anywhere.
Or some of them had like a season finale, but deserved more as a series finale, you know?
Or those unlucky shows. Or I wonder if we can get a Kickstarter so Scrub Season 9 never existed.
I think some
get a Kickstarter to erase something from
erase things from our memory.
I think some people on
the
show. It
has to become Roy at some point, right?
Can you do that? Can you Eternal Sunshine an entire television season?
Why not?
I think they've done that for TV series. No, they did do that. Actually, with Dallas, they basically made an entire season a dream.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. What a douche move. God. You waste 22 season. Hours in a friggin' season, and they say, hey, you know that awful season we just made you watch? Totally didn't happen.
See? They can do that.
And then one day you wake up, and Patrick Duffy is in your shower. And you'll never be
talking about
again.
Family Guy.
Man, fuck Family Guy.
That was a show that probably should. I mean, that would have been a show that probably would
have. Yeah, can I have a Kickstarter to stop Family Guy from returning?
There are shows I can think of that I would definitely do a Kickstarter. Like, I will give you all of this money never to make another episode of your show again. Big Bang Theory.
Please kill the Simpsons. Yes. Please kill the Simpsons. This show has not been funny in 15 years.
It has become SNL The Bad Years in animated form.
By the way, if you ever want to read about SNL The Bad Years, go read Live from New York.
Oh, I love that book.
It's glorious.
I've been pimping that book since they first put it out, because like, I remember reading it, a review of it, being like, oh, I have to see this. It's so good.
It's like, yeah, we did so much cocaine back in those days, and like Jane Curtin just went back to the suburbs.
And all the Bill Murray stories. Like when Bill Murray punched out Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase probably had it coming.
Oh, he totally did.
That's the saddest thing. Like, I love National Lampoon, and for the longest time, I loved Chevy Chase. And after all the Community drama, he just seems like a massive asshole.
He's special.
It's hard to say. I think I'm not going to disagree with you, but it does seem like he's just kind of one of those people who's got this ego about him, and he has to do comedy a certain way.
If I were him, I'd be like, thank Christ, someone's giving me a job.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where he's got a job.
Like a giant walking testicle. Like, he's old and wrinkly. It's weird.
Well, if Community actually manages to get another season, it'll probably be Fred Willis.
But I doubt if we want it this season.
Didn't they just lose another character too?
I don't think so.
The guy who plays Senior Chang, he's joining another show.
Oh, yeah, well.
Yeah, he's got a pilot coming up. Yeah.
So,
well, I can kind of see him being written out this season anyow. But that's neither here nor there. Again, back to Kickstarter shows and finales.
I'm actually putting a link in the chat right there. Bam. This is entirely relevant to our conversation.
But yeah, I actually think Family Guy is a fair point, because I think the Family Guy show that you might not necessarily want something to come back.
I'm loving it. Okay. Everyone laugh as they read it. This is awesome. For everybody wondering, there's a good Kickstarter page by Cobra Commander who wants you to kickstart Cobra.
I want to back this so badly.
That's great. This is not live. This is only a draft that the creator has chosen.
$10,000 or more, Cobra Commander will reveal his true identity.
Yeah.
But you have to wait a year.
The goal is 21.
And it doesn't ship to Canada.
Yeah, the goal is $21,474,836. So apparently in the video, he says something into billions. Hold on, let me bring that up again. He's asking for $94 billion.
Storm Shadow for a week?
This is so great.
So weird. 21,474,836?
It's an oddly specific number.
How do you calculate that?
The Cobra makeover and potential position within the Cobra organization.
Nonprofit organization.
You know, technically, this is the Kickstarter project, so we are technically on the subject of Kickstarter. Just
I know, I said it was relevant to the conversation. And G.I. Joe was a television show.
Would you want a G.I. Joe Kickstarter?
Only if it was to get the original director and cast back of the first G.I. Joe movie.
I'm kind of curious to see where this Kickstarter ends first. I mean, not this Kickstarter, but this movie.
I would like to do a Kickstarter for them to make a live action version of the animated G.I. Joe film, because I want to see Cobra Law.
Oh, that would be cool. I like the version.
I would just want that.
It's so ridiculous.
Directed by Duncan Jones.
I don't know many action movies.
Starring the corpse of Burgess Meredith.
I would pay for a Kickstarter for them to restart He-Man Masters of the Universe, but with much more gay tones.
So
I know there's already a lot there to work with, but with, like, really super homoerotic.
Can Frank Langella still be Skeletor, like, in the live-action film?
Of course, of course.
Awesome.
And I would him giving a long diatribe of how he's become God.
Mm, God, I love that movie. It's so terrible.
It's so awful.
Wow.
So back to our topic. I did an article on this for the site today, actually. And what I found out was, I mean, there's a couple of action shows that I thought of, but a lot of them actually ended up being cartoons that I thought were quirky and awesome and just kind of vanished in the same way pretty much all cartoons do. So for me, it's like Samurai Jack. Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
Four seasons. You know you want a movie. You know
yes.
We need a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He never got back to the past.
Never got back
to the
past.
We're going to do
something. The song was never fulfilled.
Never got back to his butt. Then there's Clone High and Undergrads. I would love to see some sort of continuation
of
both.
Oh my gosh.
I
want to see a continuation
of Clone High
on Undergrads.
If someone had that.
I didn't know anybody else actually watched Clone High.
Did you see the fool? They flipped the bitch.
Free bacon for Star Wars, but I'm a
Why are we even podcasting right now? Shouldn't we be watching that show? God.
You can find Clone High online. I mean, either DVD or there are ways people can watch this online.
See, I think the only way that... See, the reason why Clone High was canceled was not because the quality or the ratings were poor, but because of the controversy surrounding Mahatma Gandhi, right? Mm-hmm. India found out about how his character was being portrayed and decided to petition and go on hunger strikes until MTV decided to cancel it. So...
I guess that...
I heard they just canceled it because they wanted more reality. Like just straight up.
Well, that seems like MTV. But.
Yeah, it does.
Clone High was a reality show.
Was it?
Yes. Tell me that. They'll believe anything. They're fucking MTV.
I think you could bring this show back if you guys have seen. You guys, I'm sure, have seen the ending, right?
Yeah.
The super cliffhanger where everyone's frozen. Just make it so everyone unfreezes and is perfectly fine except for Gandhi, who shatters into a million pieces. And then the show can move forward and we can find a new Gandhi.
They replace it with Muhammad.
I was thinking that's what called that too.
Another deeply revered figure.
I'm sure there wouldn't be any issues with an animated image of Muhammad, right?
That's never happened.
No. Not that South Park. Not that the South Park creators didn't get death threats, you know. That never happened.
You mean death threats other than the ones I sent them? I mean, what?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they deserve some death threats, really.
The cartoon I want a Kickstarter for? Pirates of Dark Water.
I love the
film. Yes! Yes.
Never got resolved.
It never got resolved. They got the first living treasure, and then it's like, well, series over.
I hate shows with those premises that never end, like the 13 Ghosts of Scooby Doo.
Oh yeah.
13 Ghosts of Scooby Doo. Okay, but to be I remember the producer being like, yeah, we kind of lost steam about halfway through. So I wasn't really going to fight for it.
Screw it.
And I heard the same thing from Sarah Connor Chronicles. I mean, I'm sorry, Terminator fans. Like, you can blame Terminator Salvation, you can blame Fox, you can blame Dollhouse. The producers themselves said that the show was losing steam. It was probably going to be canceled anyway. So it's a terrible thing to hear, and according to the mythos of that show, I'm sure John Connor is still stuck in the future and Sarah Connor is still stuck in the past, but that's just how the cards play.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, I just kind of end the series at Terminator 2 in my head now.
Generally speaking, I just pretend that anything after the second Terminator just didn't happen.
Chronicles, but I'd much rather just end the franchise.
It was funny. I was actually talking about like animated series that should get a revival, and it was funny how the big recent cancellation of like Young Justice and Green Lantern came up, and I thought, it really wouldn't shock me if Young Justice gets revived somewhere else in this thing. I don't know if it probably won't get a Kickstarter, but it'd get.
That was a bit of a mixed bag for an ending, too, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was like that ending, and I went, oh, you.
DC's going to screw over their fans. They're going to bring back this show as a DC Nation short. So you'll get like 15 seconds of it every week.
Can you imagine?
I thought you were going to say when you mentioned superhero cartoons that you were going to mention the Spider-Man series from the 90s, because that also ended on the
Oh, The Amazing Spider-Man that was on Fox and was canceled in spite of its high ratings? See,
well, I think it wasn't canceled. The original plan was for them to rebrand it as Unlimited, but then Unlimited kind of fell off the wagon. Because like, at the end of it, Mary Jane gets sucked into an alternate dimension and
That's where it ends.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh,
see, hated that show. I hated it, and I get why it's so revered by people. I've never been a Marvel guy. I was always into Batman the Animated Series in the 90s. I didn't understand why people would even pay attention to Amazing Spider-Man, but yeah. And then the one later on, what was it? It was created by Mainframe Entertainment. Was it Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah, I think so.
That was canceled abruptly too.
No, that was a Spider-Man the MTV series.
Yeah, I have that one. Well, but that had that imitation where it was based on the Raimi movies.
Yeah.
Raimi movies, and that always just kind of screws. Because it's a Spider-Man show where you can't use Green Goblin, you can't use Doc Ock. Like, it's all these imitations, so it was like all
you're
these
fighting
character
and Rhino every episode.
Though it did give us Neil Patrick Harris doing the voice of Spider-Man, and he did a really good voice.
He is a really good voice actor in general.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why I love Adventure Time, part of the reason why I like the Fiona and Cake episodes so much is because he always ends up playing the male iteration of Princess, and he just seems like such a charming and dashing character. I want to high-five Neil Patrick Harris someday. I'm sure he's a cool dude.
He sounds like he is just so like...
Let's start a Kickstarter for people who want to high-five Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes. Let's just make him line up, and only people who contributed get to high-five him.
I'd like to start a Kickstarter so that Neil Patrick Harris can only play Dr. Horrible for the rest of his career.
I love Dr. Horrible.
Even if he's in other movies and shows, he has to be Dr. Horrible as in playing.
I never thought a musical could tug on my heartstrings so much.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful.
Yeah, it was funny, like, watching, like, the recent TV, when they put it on, when they played it on CW one evening, it's like, who would have thought Joss Whedon's little project would eventually end up on the CW on a primetime slot?
Yeah, I know.
Because it's like, I'm bored during the writer's strike. What do I do?
Yeah, basically.
Have you guys listened to the commentary track?
Yeah.
If not, I want to.
No, but
you should. Okay, because here's the thing. The movie is a musical, obviously, but the commentary is also a musical. It's literally titled Commentary the Musical. And they provide commentary in song. They provided about the writer's strike. They provided about how they made scenes, about songs that were cut, about Ninja Ropes, the iOS game.
I love the Ninja Ropes song.
It's awesome.
And of course, Nathan is better than Neil.
It's brilliant.
But back to TV shows. Well, it's true. The tangents happen. We mentioned that, like I said, I just wanted a conclusion to that Spider-Man series to know what happened. Actually, I don't think any Spider-Man show has ended yet. Even Spectacular Spider-Man ended on a cliffhanger. Sadly, we still get Ultimate Spider-Man, so whatever. This isn't a Kickstarter for a finale exactly, but what is it? Batman Beyond. They always talk about the War of 2009, and they've never shown that. I want a movie of
that. So the War of 2009?
It's something that happens. Something that happens that drastically destroys the Justice League, and it takes place in Batman Beyond's past, but it was the future of everything else in the DC universe. So they never really got it, but they always mentioned it in Batman Beyond, and I want to see what that was.
Yeah, I hate when different properties do that. When they mention something that you never ever see during the series, it just keeps coming up.
Yeah.
Perhaps you missed something, Earl, but I have already entered the Batman.
No. Were you a big fan of Batman Beyond?
Who, me?
I'm not a fan of anything that does not involve the board state being tackled by the
controller. Baneing again.
Oh, Lord. The Bane virus has infected Nicholas once more.
Oh, Bane.
He has been lonely without his Bane.
I could never get into Batman Beyond for some reason.
I think of Batman Beyond as DC's attempt to make Batman Spider-Man.
It worked much better than I ever imagined. I mean, because I was like, oh, Batman Beyond, this is actually turned out really good.
Batman Beyond was amazing.
Why was it amazing, Ashley?
Yeah,
it was amazing simply for old crotchety Bruce.
Yes.
Old crotchety Bruce.
Old Bruce Wayne is the best.
Is he still played by the same voice actor?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Still Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Kevin Conroy. I love the fact... Okay, you guys are going to really think terrible things of me, but I haven't actually seen Arkham Asylum or Arkham City.
What?
I know, my brother just bought both of them for me yesterday because he was so ashamed of me. But he told me that Mark Hamill plays the Joker and Kevin Conroy has returned to play Batman, and I thought that was the coolest thing.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You want to play with Asylum. It shouldn't take you too long to beat Asylum for the most part.
Yeah.
You wanted to know about that. They're about maybe 8
Yeah,
it's
not too bad.
Each.
Okay.
Those are two of my favorite games ever. Arkham Asylum was my game of the year for 3 years in a row, and then Arkham City was my
for 3 years in a row.
Well, because they kept putting out different versions, so I can kept counting it.
That's awful.
It had an ending, but I wouldn't mind them kickstarting the Justice League cartoon again. Unlimited Part 2. I guess that would be I don't know, but that would be awesome. But yeah, one show I did want to mention while we're on the subject of actually being on the subject is Pushing Daisies. Did anybody watch that show?
I've seen a couple episodes, but just because I like some of the actors.
Pushing Daisies.
No, I never watched it.
I liked it.
It's a fun show that just... I mean, the only reason it even survived is because it was during the writers' strike and ABC there was a lot of shows that survived that year because of that.
That's how Chuck got another season. That's a big part of why Chuck got another season, because of the fact that the writers' strike happened. So it's like, well, we don't want anything else. Get another season because we got nothing else.
Yeah.
I feel like Pushing Daisies is, and Heroes got a season two.
Oh God, that show.
Yeah, I was wondering if anyone here was going to bring up Heroes.
Oh,
I would like to start Heroes that, you know, after the end of the first season, different things happened.
Right.
Yeah.
I loved the first season. I was hard up for the first season.
Mm-hmm.
That show was bombing. And then they're like, why are ratings falling so quickly? It's because you made the show suck.
It's funny, the story behind Heroes is more the guy who was the initial creator series, Tim Kring, was wanting to do like different heroes for each season. And they were like, you can't do that. What, you can't? No. Well, crap. So that's why you saw all those new heroes kind of pop up in the second season, and still using the regular cast, but having these new people pop up as a kind of like a weird merging of the concepts.
Tim Kring's a douchebag.
Tim Kring is a douchebag.
He was on a panel with Grant Morrison and somehow managed to out-pompous him.
What?
So how do you do that? How do you out-pompous Grant Morrison? I love that guy, but he is...
With great skill.
Mm-hmm. You do it once.
Oh, God.
And then you learn.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I mean, and then they made the mistake of hiring Jeff Loeb. You know, if you hire Jeff Loeb, your show is going to be terrible, just on general principle.
Well, and then the thing was, they introduced those new characters, and it could have worked, but then they got rid of all the interesting ones,
mm-hmm.
brought Allie Larder back as someone else, and just kept the girl who was completely useless but cried death.
Because she played her own twin sister?
Yep. That's exactly what they did.
Triplet sisters!
Yeah, triplets.
They were triplets.
I forgot about the triplets.
They kept finding siblings that she didn't know about.
Wait, and she also had a split personality, right?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, I forgot about that too.
What really drove me nuts was Skylar. What was Skylar or Skylar?
Skylar.
Yeah, but he was like, he's a good guy. He's a bad guy. He forgot. He had mommy issues.
They went through about
and everybody was related on
every
this show.
Season with Skylar became a new personality. It's like, is he gonna be good? Sure. Gonna be bad? Sure. Is he gonna?
Wait, you talk about Spock.
Yeah, we'll talk about Spock.
He's much better as Spock.
Yeah, he was very happy to get the Star Trek gig, so he was like, oh, Heroes got canceled? Okay, man. I got Star Trek, I'm good.
Once again, first season Tyler was fine. And then you found out he didn't eat brains.
Always plus.
Yeah, that was a big get down, because I guess they didn't want to show it, and it's like...
You didn't have to.
Yeah, but I guess they wanted to solve the mystery, and it's one of those things where, like, It's like the old monster movie theory. So as you show up the monster, the more intimidating they are, because you have to put it in with your imagination. When everybody thought he ate brains, he was a scary monster. When he didn't, he just kind of goofy.
And then in the fourth season, they had carnies.
No, fourth season never happened.
Well, the second and third, fourth season never happened.
Yeah, that.
That's the thing, because Nathan died at the end of every season and came back miraculously.
He was like Kenny.
It's like
how C-Lab blows up at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
Except not as good.
Yes.
You know what? It's weird, though, in the fourth season. It's like, how do we try to fix this series, Carney? Why not?
That's how you do it. That's how you save it.
You add Carney.
Speaking of Carneys, yeah. Carnival is another show.
Oh, good show.
Brilliant segue.
Good show. Yeah, very eloquent. Good job.
Any more on this show, or
no? Carnival. It was this weird supernatural traveling carnival, and it was this whole like good versus evil thing.
It was very.
And it had one of those endings that was like setting up this epic. You know, where we're going towards is this amazing battle between good and evil, and then it just stopped.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like HBO just, it got too expensive for HBO and the ratings started, were dwindling, so they said, go
yeah,
over.
I think something like that.
Isn't that what happened with Deadwood, too?
I think that's happened in Deadwood, too. Like,
him and HBO.
And Rome.
Stop introducing good TV and then killing it.
Listen, no, I will gladly sacrifice all those shows at the altar of Game of Thrones continuing forever.
And considering the ratings that show gets for HBO,
that'll be a problem.
The only thing that will be a problem is if Martin dies without finishing the books.
They'll figure. They'll find someone who.
Well, see, I have this theory.
It's such a long time to do them. Like,
well, he has feasts to write about, and then not include in the book because he has like he's feasts all the time, and then he just includes like a third of them in the books. The other ones are for his own personal feast log.
I would read his feast blog.
I don't think I would.
Be afraid.
I would skim his feast blog.
There you go.
In the bookstore, there was a Game of Thrones cookbook. It was called A Feast of Ice and Fire. They have recipes for every single mention. And any mention in the books of a meal or any type of food, they have a recipe for it.
That's insane.
Mm.
Yes, it is.
Did they
it is very
how to make Joffrey's wedding wine?
Oh, I didn't look that far. Oh. Wait, what did we talk about? Spoilers.
Spoilers. I said nothing.
Well, edit this out.
Well, I am curious though, because you mentioned shows that like, do you find yourself this psyche to kind of get into a show now with the chances of them being canceled mm-hmm. early and just kind of waiting to marathon?
Not really.
Like,
Community season
something?
4.
There have been instances where I've kind of waited it out because I didn't think something would survive, and I didn't want to invest myself too early.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I had a shows now I don't do unless they're hit at least a season 2 because I don't want to get invested and then it gets canceled on me. Especially if it's on something like NBC or Fox.
Man, they've had a track record and a half lately.
If I like a show, I will just watch it. I don't care if it's going to be canceled or not. Oh, I'll care. I'll be angry and probably yell on Twitter about it or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather, you know, it be good and then get canceled than die the slow, slow death by inches of some shows. Excuse me.
What, like, okay, is there any show that you guys have watched that, like, there wasn't any overarching plot that was never finished, necessarily, but you just really, really wanted more? Because I was thinking, like, Aeon Flux, I don't know if you guys remember that anime.
Yes, I do.
And it was like every single episode had its own contained arc, and I remember feeling so empty when it ended. I was like, what do I watch now?
Wasn't it the next to last episode where they do like the weird like fast forward through time and she turns into herself in every episode and then she's a suburban mom in the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was every episode she died, right?
Died.
Most episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a unique shows like that. Like we need more.
It's really weird when you realize that Peter Chung is like after Aeon Flux, he did like Phantom 2040, and he also did like a weird anime called Rain that involved like Alexander the Great.
Oh, that was him.
Yep, that was him.
Never realized that.
It was weird. Like there's some series that I'm like I can instantly recognize certain animator styles and certain looks of like how they go, and it's like I saw Rain the first time. I'm like, that's Aeon Flux. Whoa. Okay, this sounds interesting.
It's beautiful too.
It's a really good look. Yeah, I mean, I actually watched Phantom 2040 is I thought, oh, Peter Chung, Aeon Flux guy's doing a Saturday morning kids cartoon. This is going to be something to behold. Okay, let's see this insanity for myself. And actually, Phantom 2040 wasn't too bad. It was kind of like a very darker twist in a Saturday morning, well, actually air on Sunday morning here, cartoon show that was pretty interesting to watch. So, yeah. And that's another series like I wouldn't have minded seeing at least one more season of, because I actually liked Phantom 2040. Most people never really heard of it now, but it actually wasn't a bad little series.
I remember it.
Gendy has a really unique art style. I mean, you can see it in Samurai Jack and Powerpuff Girls.
Yes.
What is another one that he's done? Samurai Jack, Powerpuff Girls, Star Wars,
Fosters.
Star Wars Clone Wars, the original Star Wars Clone Wars.
Yeah. He did Symbiotic Tita, that Symbiotic Titan, Symbiotic
Hotel
Titan.
Transylvania, which right? He did that too. For
which is also canceled, right?
Actually, it's interestingly enough, it's going to be cool to see that Samurai Jack's one of the shows that's coming on March 30th on Netflix. So, the first season.
Have they set a date for
there.
It?
Yeah. A lot of shows that come out. Yeah, first season of that
on there. I love Adventure Time.
I hope Adventure Time never ends.
Yes, that show should continue forever.
And ever.
Considering the ratings it gets for Cartoon Network, ooh, it got going anywhere anytime soon.
Good. Well, I appreciate
yeah, I see. It's not even, it's the ratings, but it's also apparently
does a lot of merchandising. I mean, between like General Toys and other tchotchkes. And
I have a fin hat.
There you go.
It's adorable.
They apparently just released a stuffed Gunther, and I want it.
Oh, yes. That penguin.
Yes.
And the comic line's like one of the best selling thing Boom has right now, like with Adventure Time, so.
Cool.
You know what I would
Marceline and the Scream Queens, the miniseries, was one of my picks for like top releases last year.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
Have you guys played
really
the video
cool.
game? The 3DS video game? Adventure Time? It plays like Zelda 2, but in a good way.
Huh.
It's weird.
That sounds cool actually.
Yeah.
You know that we're there's one series that I can't it's gonna be totally off the animated train we've been on a little bit of stuff, but I want to give at least one more mention. Like, Leverage just ended this past year, and I wanted one more season of Leverage. Just one freaking more season. And
I've never seen it.
Good show. Really good show.
I like Leverage. It's a fun series. The main reason why I got into it initially was the fact that one of the people behind it was John Rogers, who wrote Blue Beetle, and I loved Blue Beetle. So pretty much John Rogers working on a TV show? Yeah, I'm going to watch that because I really loved his work on Blue Beetle. And turns out I just freaking loved the Leverage. And that last season was just so golden. And they gave it a decent wrap-up, but you could tell they just want one more year. Like, movie, something. They want to do one more year with Leverage because you could tell that cast was like, man, this sucks. Though the guy who played Hardison actually has a series gig on the Sixth Gun pilot that's supposed to be airing on NBC next year.
Yep.
Oh, that's not going to last.
If we're lucky, it'll last.
I would like a Kickstarter. And this is completely serious. This is not me joking or anything. I would like a Kickstarter for another season of The Sopranos, which is only 5 minutes long. It shows immediately what happens after the fade to black in the last episode.
No.
And then it just goes right to black again.
No.
But it doesn't. But here's the twist. No. Here's the twist. No. Nothing happens.
No. So you want to replace that lovely...
And then there's another...
That's awful.
No,
you
want to
replace that lovely journey, that lovely journey theme song, that lovely journey gloriousness for 5 minutes of nothing and nothing
happens?
It would
just keep playing. Your journey would keep playing. It would just be as if the show never ended. Like, it would just be another 5 minutes, and then another hard cut to black. So then everybody
else...
Why are
you not in television, Nicholas?
Well, I want everyone to suffer.
Nicholas causes more people to swear and curse at their TVs 5 minutes more than already did the first time around.
See, there's a real problem with direct sequels like that. And I think part of it is sometimes a conclusion really works.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in video game terms, like, Final Fantasy X, not a perfect game, but that conclusion works. So when you say, hey, it's Final Fantasy X-2, we want to give it a happy ending, it completely removes any mystery or allure as to what would have happened after things faded to black. And it replaces it with filler. So you would want 5 minutes of filler.
And cosplay.
I want everyone to suffer. I want people to be so excited that they're going to find out what happens if then nothing happens. And they're going to be left with the same feeling of
blue balls? You want to give people blue balls.
I want them to experience life.
That's not experiencing life.
I'm a horrible person.
It was actually, in a cynical way, that is experiencing life.
I'm a horrible person. Oh. Oh, there was something I actually had a legitimate one too. I can't remember it now. I got so distracted.
This is somewhat legitimate just because I want to see how the show ended because it didn't end properly and it's really dated now. But Family Matters, because they sent Urkel to space.
I was about to say, that show finished?
Yeah, it did actually. That was. Well, hey.
They sent them to space and that was it.
Totally be shot into
bye forever, black nerd.
technically, Earl. The series got an extra season reprieve because of CBS going, we want to start our own TGIF lineup.
And then they canceled everything
after one season because the ratings sucked.
Yeah, you can't replicate something by interrupting.
Not just suck, they were abysmal for that Friday night lineup. I mean, like, the last season of Step by Step was strange. The last season of Family Matters was really strange. And they had a replacement Harriet for reasons.
Yeah, that was what was fun. They replaced her halfway through the season. Then she came back for the final episode, but she wasn't Harriet. She was somebody who worked in the Space Control Center that they sent Urkel up in space. And then I watched a lot of Family Matters when I was younger. And Urkel and Nora were supposed to get married, but he had a space mission to go on first, and they sent him to space, and the show ended. So I want to know if I'm sure he made it back safely and they got married.
Well,
but still.
You know eventually what happened to Will White.
It's Urkel. What if he exploded the space station and was like, did I do that? You know, like.
Thank you.
Could you not see that happening?
I could totally see that happening. Like, Urkel, what did you do?
Oh, no, I opened the door. But, I forgot we were in space.
My bad.
But yes, thank you for killing Urkel, my childhood. I'm not going to say hero, but somebody from my childhood, I guess.
This is the thing
I
used
know.
To remember. How dare you?
Yeah, pretty much. I remember this. You shouldn't make fun of it.
It was terrible.
I would like to kickstart the last 5 years of WWE, mostly anything to do with John Cena. Just kind of like erase him out of the footage.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
No, they only have the technology to do that with one person, and we know they did that.
Can you erase his ego?
We have no idea what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you ever want to... You know, the best thing...
You see CM Punk having great matches just by himself.
CM Punk's going to have his own version of a match with a broom. Just...
He and Dolph Ziggler should tag team against some brooms.
The broom. Hey, if they were gonna make a team at one point called the Ding Dongs, which actually did, yeah, they did make a tag team, right? Never mind, they did make the Ding Dongs, and they were, at one point they were gonna make a team called the Hunchbacks because they had bumps, like they had little bumps on their backs and they could never be pinned. Then why not the broom?
I would only ever accept a team called the Ding Dongs if one person was called Ding and the other one was called Dong.
And you know what? This was an idea a company had. I think.
I'm sure somebody would have come up with it, but I'm trying to think of other shows that were kind of canceled. That, like, a lot of shows end with mad things, but, like, you just weren't invested in them, or you know, time kind of... Like, Veronica Mars, I didn't feel like it was a show that was needed a movie. I mean, I stopped watching it after season one. But it didn't seem like the type of show that had any lingering questions. It just seems like a pet project of Kristen Bell and...
Good for them, though, if they like the property enough that they're willing to work for it like
give
that.
Give them credit.
Yeah.
They got it to happen. I mean, no matter... Yeah. Oh, just to clarify on my Ding Dongs, they were a team that had little cowbell, that had bells on their they came to the ring, and they debuted on Clash 7. On Clash of the Champions 7. So, if you really want to watch that match...
No, I really super don't.
You can find it on YouTube, more than likely. It's going to be horrible. I actually watched this back in the day, too.
You know, it's one series that had a follow-up after it was released as a television series that I kind of wish didn't? Escaflowne, Vision of Escaflowne.
Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh. So the TV show is, like, a huge part of my childhood. Like, I don't watch a lot of anime, but the stuff that I have involves giant fighting robots. And I'm super cool with that. And Escaflowne is one of the best ones. But then they released a movie of Escaflowne, and instead of being a continuation of the series, it's a reimagining of the series.
That movie was strange.
So it's like all the characters are there, but none of them know each other. None of them have the same experiences. All the character development is gone, and the plot is like super different. And I'm sitting there like, why am I even acknowledging this as a thing?
The animation was pretty. That was like the only thing about that series. The animation looked good, but the rest of the movie, the actual story was like, huh?
I know.
What? Pony?
No, I remember what I wanted to say now.
Oh, good.
Like 10 minutes ago.
Yay.
They were talking about how revisiting an ending and to make it less ambiguous to explain things better. And I said my favorite version of that was the Neon Genesis Evangelion one, where they went back and said, oh, you guys want an explanation? Well, you're not going to like it. And they put the movies out, and people were like, no, this doesn't make any sense. They're like, well, do you want to know? Yeah.
Have you been checking out the revamped version?
I have not. My friend says they're really good. I haven't managed to.
Yeah, I have the first two volumes, but it's too friggin' slow. Like, there's at least two more. It's friggin' Japan.
Fuck you, Japan.
Fuck you, Japan. Yeah.
It's really weird, it's funny you mentioned Evangelion, considering the history behind that series and the special history behind that series.
Special history.
Hideki Anno going basically having no money by the end of the series and just reusing animation frames like a madman and getting really depressed and just basically and reading a lot of psychology books and just go nuts.
That represented in the characters for sure.
Yeah.
It was
pretty great, and Hideki Anno was.
Oh, Nick, to what you were saying, Twin Peaks was kind of in the same boat. I love Twin Peaks. Like, the first season is awesome. The second season has a lot more going on. And the weird thing is, by the end of the last episode of the last season, they've kind of resolved the major premise of the show. Like, we understand in a kind of weird, vague way what happened. But
so we know who killed Amanda Palmer.
The thing about the second season is that it's just a whole bunch of subplots about how everyone inside the town is a terrible person, right? And nothing ever gets resolved. So then they say, well, we're going to release this movie, Firewalk With Me, and it will resolve things. And then you go see the movie, and it turns out to be a prequel. So it resolves nothing.
David Lynch continuing to say, ha ha ha.
Yeah, I entirely think that's David Lynch just trolling his audience, because he's like, you dumbasses.
You think I'm going to explain anything?
He just does not care.
Foolish mortals, you thought you were able to understand me.
I love him for that. I love him. That, like, Mulholland Drive and the Lost Highway things that people are like, oh, it means this and this, and he's like, No, it doesn't. You're stupid.
So it is.
I'm not explaining to you what it means, but I'm telling you you're wrong.
So the episode of Psych in which they basically do an homage to Twin Peaks is actually pretty glorious. They had like a few cast members from the Twin Peaks show pop on for a little cameo and guest roles, and they just went with the insanity of Twin Peaks, and I'm going, what in the world?
I think Twin Peaks is a brilliant property. I think anything that plays homages to it is just awesome.
They did, it was interesting. Twin Peaks came on like in the freaking late 80s.
Yep.
And it's not late 80s, was it? About late 89?
Early 90s, I think.
I thought it was like,
so, like
real life. Every time I go on a quick search because I have to make sure if I can, because I know it came on. Yeah, you're right. It came on 1990. So, right in that weird cross section of late 80s, early 90s.
Yes, but when the 90s was trying to figure out what it was.
Yeah. It's like how they explain Saved by the Bell.
Everyone's wearing neon and overalls.
And eventually they just kind of gave up.
Yeah.
So, have you guys ever seen the Saturday Night Live sketch they did with Kyle MacLachlan doing his thing with Twin Peaks?
No, but now I want to.
It's hilarious. They do every send up of every plot line in Twin Peaks of that period in like one, like 3-5 minute sketch.
You know what's weird?
Everything.
I follow Kyle MacLachlan on Twitter, and all he ever talks about is like his fucking vineyard Like, he's a big wine guy, right? Apparently. Doesn't even really act that much anymore. Nope. He's just old and likes wine. And
man, they might.
He occasionally plays the mayor on Portland.
He puts out there because it's fucking Kyle MacLachlan.
The man saves his money very well. And his wine sells very well, so he's just like, I just pop on Landia and do whatever, and I can just make wine. Hey, it's like while Michael Keaton, he has a farm.
And Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton has a farm, and he just...
Sounds like the start of a joke. Michael Keaton has a
E-I-E-I-O.
farm.
E-I-E-I-O. He really doesn't make many movies. E-I-E-I-O. Except he's gonna make RoboCop because Hugh Laurie bowed out.
Yeah, where do things stand with RoboCop these days, anyway?
Michael Keaton's the villain.
I thought it was in production.
It's in production right now. It's just Michael Keaton's the villain, and the suit looks really strange and might look better in CG. So
yeah, I meant terribly, as in the movie's going to be terrible.
Well, to be fair, I don't look back at the original RoboCop movies as like classics. You know,
the first one's
first one is objective.
I think the first one gets a bit more clout than it deserves.
Now there's a lot of subtext going on in it.
Subtext?
Yes. Paul Verhoeven, he throws that shit in when people aren't looking. Like, Total Recall is total, like, insane amount of subtext, which the remake then, you know, completely threw out the window.
The remake.
Still have not seen that remake.
Oh, please don't. So don't do it. I don't know what it is about that director, but he just sucks the life out of everything that he produces. It's awful.
Who did that one?
Len Wise.
The same guy who was behind the Underworld series?
Yeah.
Oh, that
Len Wiseman? Is it?
Yeah, he did Die Hard 4 as well.
Oh, it's awful. He's a hack. He's a hack.
See, I liked the first Underworld, but from there on, it kind of went,
Considering we're in, you know, at this point, I have just accepted that we're in remake land, considering that the Count of Monte Cristo is in your remake. And
we've been in remakes for quite some
time,
but though.
Man, they are just diving into that. Like, quick, we need anything. Quick, you know what we're going to do?
Judge Dredd. Why would we ever remake Judge Dredd? Judge Dredd turned out good, but still, why would you ever think?
It's better than the original.
What kind of Monte Cristo? That's just a re-adaptation.
And you know, it's funny, when I was reading up the thing on the Count of Monte Cristo, they're actually, I love how the buzz behind it is, they want to turn the Count of Monte Cristo into a 19th century Dark Knight.
I thought you said the Count of Monte Cristo.
That would be a funnier movie, honestly. I wish it was the Count of Monte Cristo.
But, I want that sandwich.
But it's but the Count of Monte Cristo is, it's like, it's funny, because like, the guy, David S. Goyer, he's the one directing the film, so.
Solid Snake?
Yeah, he's directing the film, and he's got it's like the weirdest thing. I was like reading, I was going, huh? Well, this and they're saying like, well, we want to reimagining like Sherlock Holmes and all that fun crazy stuff that Hollywood buzzword people like to say, like 19th century Dark Knight. So
Outside of all the remakes, I think the one startling trend is a whole bunch of like fairy tale movies that are being remade kind of in an adult kind
of way. Gretel just made like $200 million.
Canceling Gretel.
And they're going to make a sequel.
We had Snow White and the Huntsman.
Making a sequel.
Alice in Wonderland.
Surprisingly not making a sequel.
Jack the Giant Slayer.
Man, that movie bombed.
Oz the Great and Powerful, which I have.
Oh, that's such a bad movie. I just reviewed that last. It was awful, awful waste of money.
A bad movie that betrayed the ideals of the creators and of the works it's based upon.
It's really funny. Oz the Great and Powerful. I've heard it's like, this is all like the reviews I've gotten are love, 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 hate, 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 love, love.
I absolutely hated it. I think this kind of ties into what I was saying last week about foregone conclusions and prequels. Like the movie is a prequel to the Wicked, or not even that, The Wizard of Oz, right? So you're watching it and you have like a checklist in your head, like, so there has to be a wicked witch, there has to be a fake wizard, you know, like, you know that they're just setting up events for that movie. So there's no suspense. There's no tension. I know everyone's going to live. I know there's going to be two evil witches. Like, it felt like a waste of time sitting there and watching it.
What was funny is, like, every review, like I saw a couple of, like, reviews of it on TV, and, like, one guy just gave away, like, everything about the movie in, like, one review. He said, screw it, I'm giving away everything. I'm like, well, if you really were actually even remotely curious in seeing Oz, you probably aren't now, because he just told the entire movie in one 5-minute review.
allow me to rant a little bit, but the movie, actually, like I said, it betrays the very ideals of L. Frank Baum, the creator of the Oz verse, I guess, and that he was very much about female protagonists and strong women roles, and it, in fact, included a transgendered character in the books. And Oz, the Great and Powerful, basically says, oh no, none of this would have happened without a man.
Yeah.
Well, the wizard was an asshole in the books. He was much closer to the way they portrayed him.
He's kind of a skeez bag in the movie, too. I don't know if it's just because James Franco's playing him, and I think James Franco's a skeez bag, but...
he's not a heroic character in the book at all.
No, he's... But the thing is, like, I don't understand it, because I feel like if people watch a prequel outside the fact that they already know what has to happen for everything to line up, there's not much new to bring to the table. That author wrote 13 different tales of Oz, right? 13. Mm-hmm. And only one of them was done as a full feature. And the movie that Oz the Great and Powerful is based off of, like, essentially two paragraphs that he wrote. So why not just create a sequel to The Wizard of Oz and not have to go through all the legal wrangling, you know?
Because then you couldn't put Mila Kunis in pleather pants.
Oh, she was the worst actor. She was even worse than James Franco.
How?
That's what I heard.
How? I don't even know. It's awful.
How?
You know why Oz is fucked up? Because women wanted to fuck the wizard.
Everyone wants to fuck the wizard. But I think the one thing that really pissed me off about the movie is that the entire time James Franco's character is going on about how he wants to be this amalgamation of Houdini and Thomas Edison. Like, the guy muses about Thomas Edison like he's the second coming of Christ. And being a Nikola Tesla fan myself, I'm sitting there like, oh, fuck Thomas Edison. And fuck James Franco.
Why did I pay
$12 to be here?
And if you've read Atomic Robo, then you know Nikola Tesla's the better person anyway. So
Nikola Tesla's awesome.
So
he was played by David Bowie. He wins.
Exactly. He's like,
David
Bowie. David Bowie playing Nikola Tesla is awesome. Best thing ever.
I have no idea where this podcast is right now.
And suddenly, and I mentioned Atomic Robo because I love Atomic Robo, which is you buy all the comic, like all the graphic novel stuff.
It turned into a review of the Oz the Great and Powerful.
Short version, Earl. We don't have any shows that we want to bring back to Kickstarter because most shows that are over should stay over.
I
was going to say it was fitting that we started off with Family Guy because that shows what happens when you bring back a show.
The shows we wish would stop than there are shows we wish would come back.
I mean, there's a lot of shows. It's very – the Kickstarter stuff is a very interesting – like Veronica Mars showed that, yeah, it's possible to do this. Now, of course, the movie studios are going their heads going, what else can we do this for if we don't have to pay as much money for?
Now, what can we pawn people to pay off
That's where they're at. Like, I could see people like, oh, you know what, if you want a sequel to Speed Racer, pay us.
I do not want a sequel to Speed Racer.
Everything that movie would say has already been said in that film. It was the epitome of what it should be.
If you think
that movie is literally a 2-hour seizure.
That movie is literally amazing.
Oh boy.
We're getting two different opinions
fight to the death for that movie. I love that movie so much.
If you gave the Wachowskis a bunch of money to make another Speed Racer, by golly, they'd do it.
No, they won't. They're doing Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, I'm excited for that. Did you guys watch Cloud Atlas?
I did.
I have not yet. I haven't.
I love that movie. It's very challenging, but I love it.
It was interesting when I saw Cloud Atlas. One of my friends did a video review of it, and I'm like, crap, I cannot watch this because they're going to spoil the living crap out of it. So I was like, it was like after early afternoon, I said, on a Saturday afternoon, like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go to the theater and watch Cloud Atlas. And went down to the theater, watched Cloud Atlas, and I went, okay, now I can watch this review. But I found if Cloud Atlas was it was interesting, kind of odd, but very interesting. And probably the oddest segment, like the funny thing about that movie is like it mixes them out, like a bunch of different genres, into a general timeline with a very thin
overarching. But the thing is, like before I ever saw the movie, before I even heard that the movie was a thing, I had already read the book that it was based on. So I went to see it in theaters, and I'm thinking, like, the movie is never as good as the book. And the movie is surprisingly true to the book. I think that kind of hurts the movie in some elements, because I don't think everything is meant to be transitioned from a book. But I was really pleased with it, actually. It is kind of challenging to watch, though.
Yeah, and of course it's really neat how, like, I love the, like, little, like, they had the little comedy segment in the present day, and then they did Halle Berry's really neat 70s like action spectacular, and then they did the crate, and then they did the whole, like,
I kind of wish they had steered away from using makeup to represent different races with the same actor.
That was kind of
a little awkward. Yeah,
yeah, I found a few very funny ones. It's like the only person they cannot disguise was Tom Hanks. Like, Tom Hanks is probably the hardest person. It's like, it's Tom Hanks.
It's Tom Hanks.
You're going to know who he is.
Yeah.
Everyone else was, like, the weirdest one was Halle Berry playing the Korean doctor. And you're like, what is that?
You're watching this, you're like, this feels racist. Is this racist?
Is this racist? It's weird. And the first time, that was, like, the only one, like, you I caught, like, right offhand before I watched the credits and went, that was who? Like, that was like, that's Halle Berry. This is weird.
Sorry for steering the conversation out, guys.
I at this point, I don't think that's a conversation that's happening. It's a mini winter movie review podcast at this point.
Go for it.
That as soon as the Veronica Mars Kickstarter succeeded, immediately what people started saying is, so when do we get one for Firefly?
They already had something.
Yeah, Joss Whedon,
but they want more. And Joss Whedon pretty much said, look, Marvel currently is paying me a lot of money through 2015.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to wait on anything I would do with Firefly and Dr. Horrible too.
Yeah.
I was going to also say that.
The show too. The S.H.I.E.L.D. television show, right?
Yeah, he got the S.H.I.E.L.D. series. Yeah.
Plus Much Ado About Nothing.
And I think Cole D. Smolders will be going over to S.H.I.E.L.D. when she's done with How I Met Your Mother, which is cool.
Yeah, well, doesn't How I Met Your Mother have another year, though? I thought S.H.I.E.L.D. started this year.
No, S.H.I.E.L.D.
starts
next year. They're in casting.
I think S.H.I.E.L.D. supposed to start, I'm not sure if it's supposed to start either this fall, because they started filming on it right now, so it's either going to be this fall or next fall. They haven't really announced the official which fall
it's going to be. Hopefully it doesn't suck.
I don't think it will. I mean, I think it might not meet people's expectations. Like, I don't, you know, people might be disappointed that you won't see Iron Man every week.
You're not going to, I mean, it's not that the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series is going to be, it's going to be on a TV budget, so it's not going to be very.
I think people expect it to be part of the larger Marvel universe, which I'm sure it will be, but S.H.I.E.L.D. itself isn't that. You know, it's a fun concept, but I don't know if it's going to be something where people want after their adventures.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, though. Like, I'm looking at this, and I know why people are excited. People are excited because of the creative talent that's involved, which is cool. But people are expecting it to be like an Avengers on a weekly basis, you know? I'm thinking, like, I know what S.H.I.E.L.D. does, and I know a lot of the S.H.I.E.L.D. storylines, and they aren't that interesting. So hopefully this is more of a character piece, which I suppose most of his TV shows are, but...
Two things. A, if they do it like S.H.I.E.L.D. used to be, like back in the 60s and the 70s, where he was basically just a bunch of James Bond being awesome all over the place, I would totally watch the shit out of that show. And second point is, because it's a Joss Whedon show, you know it will at least have a strong female protagonist and someone you love is going to die.
And you know, it's, and the thing of it is, what they can do with this series is they can use some of the more ground level Marvel Universe characters. Like they can use, like they can actually use like some of the more villains that you wouldn't, they couldn't really fit into the movies per se, but they could put them into the TV and a TV series environment.
Stiltman.
No problem.
Nicholas,
you read my mind.
That's why I always it's always why I wanted DC and wanted to do a Gotham City PD show, because Batman just kind of has mobsters and mafia and ground up thugs, and it had a very interesting police department. It had very fleshed out characters, and it's like, but as we've seen today, DC can't do anything right with their property
at
the moment. So
wipe their own ass.
DC is in a very special place.
But they could,
right,
but
now
they probably changed their mind halfway
through
it.
DC is in a, like when you said Gotham City, I said Gotham. Continue.
John's standing there going, "Why don't you let Hal Jordan wipe your ass?"
Hal Jordan.
Oh, Hal Jordan.
I mean, it's really funny when, like, when you said Gotham, the Gotham City thing is, it's like Gotham Central would make a kick-ass TV series. I mean, that Gotham Central is probably one of my favorite.
But only people like us would watch it.
Well, yes, but events, but
there's not enough people like us. So
exactly, I know, but let me have my fantasy here, man. I'd be so happy.
I'm a realist, but I'm right there with you. I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
No.
But I just don't think it would last. I don't think the appeal is there for general audiences.
Well, actually,
It depends on how they do. But like I said, I think, you know, like, coming from Avengers to go and have an audience, but I don't think it's what people who saw the Avengers want. Like, they're gonna expect, like, and this is the problem. This was the problem with, like, the Birds of Prey cards on TV shows.
Birds of Prey.
Is that people expected Batman to show up, and he didn't show up, so they didn't.
He should have.
Because if you read the initial synopsis for the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series, is Law and Order set in the Marvel Universe. So that's what they're probably gonna do a version of a Law and Order-esque kind of inspired show in the midst of the Marvel Universe.
Wouldn't it be fucked up?
You can have fun with that because
you know why not?
DC they probably thought it was their show. But,
I want Batman to show up on Sex and the City. I want Batman to be in Arrow.
You know,
I want Batman to be in the Veronica Mars movie.
You
want to
laugh? Since we're talking about Batman, on the Comics Crux website, I do a This Week in Comic Book History column. Self-plugging is pretty much because it actually references this. And I actually became a Batman-themed column because I couldn't find. I was like, "Huh, I did not realize I haven't done a lot of Batman facts." And this year's like the anniversary of this March is actually the anniversary of the introduction of Renee Montoya into the Bat Universe, because she was supposed to appear on the animated series, but they got her in the comic books faster than the animated series, so that's how she debuted a few months before the debut of the animated series, and it was funny when it posted up today. Jess actually put up the picture of Renee Montoya as the question, and it's like, we miss Renee. This sucks. Can Renee Montoya come back to New 52? And
is she not? You know what? I'm not going to ask that question because nobody's in the New 52 right now.
I don't read it.
But it's like, but
that seems to be the problem.
But you know, but the same thing is like, it was just really interesting that what I liked about the column is, one, it was probably one of my most popular This Week in Comic Book History columns I've ever done, and two, the fact was that it was kind of neat because people were kind of like, yeah, we miss all these characters. It's like, yeah.
I was also going to say, and this is something that I think mentioned before, I also find it sad, but the fact that almost any interesting DC female in the last 20 years has come from the cartoons.
Yeah.
Harley
Quinn.
If the cartoons can do it, why can't comics come up with an interesting female character?
Boy.
I,
Well, actually, I think the problem is the medium itself. There's a trope in comic books that pertains to how females are used called woman
in refrigerators.
Women in refrigerators, that's right. And that's the thing. What? Like in comic books, it's commonplace to take women and infantilize them and depower them and kill them or hurt them as a plot device. So in order to propel things. And I don't think that standard exists in cartoons.
That is interesting,
isn't
it?
But that's the problem. It shouldn't exist in cartoons.
It really should, because...
I was thinking about that today, because I was wondering, like, when is DC going to bring Aya into the Green Lantern universe? Because she was a very interesting and complex character for an android on a Saturday morning cartoon.
Well,
I need to understand nothing about is that if they didn't have girls with big breasts getting murdered, boys wouldn't read comic books.
Well, that's what they tell us about video games, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting about the Green Lantern, if you're talking about the Green Lantern series, which it's another series that a lot of people wish would have gotten at least one more season, and they, like, with the Aya character, is, like, Fyakov, who just got pulled off the Green Lantern titles, got pulled off the Green Lantern Corps and Red Lantern titles today, and he was actually a big fan of the Green Lantern animated series. So there's a good chance you could have seen Aya during the title of Fyakov run. There's a chance,
it was just one of those things where I'm like, so many of their interesting females have. I mean, like, I don't think Mercy's ever become a big part of the cartoons. I mean, the comics.
She had one period where she was like being used a lot in Superman. And during, like, the period where, like, it was, I think it was, like, and if anyone wants to correct me if I'm wrong, go for it. I can't entirely remember the period, but it was just, like, during when Rucka and a few other people were doing, like, during that really cool creative team period, and Mercy was, like, a big part of the books for, like, a period of time. And Mercy was actually part of the Paul Cornell's Action Comics run, too, for a little while there, so... What is going on inside? It was not a big part, but they used her, and it was actually kind of neat.
Yeah, she has potential to be a fun, interesting character. And again, you know, they've done great stuff with her, but we're going to wrap at this point, because honestly, we aren't talking about anything. Well, we're talking about good stuff, but I don't think we haven't been on topic.
We're getting close to my bedtime.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It is after Evan and I have to go. But, join us next week. We'll hopefully we stay on topic more often than not.
Nope.
We can't make any promises here. So, for Nicholas, Trent, Wesley, and Ashley, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 127.
Yay!
Gimme all your money, just kidding, but seriously, if you could please spare me maybe 10 or 20 so I can make an album. It's gonna happen, I'm finally doing it, and I can't wait, but before that, I need some help from you or your rich uncle. So here's the deal, pretty sure you know about Kickstarter, the place where artists go to make money off of their rich friends who made better life choices than them financially. I need some money so I can pay a professional sound engineer way less than he used to charge before. Napster ruined his career. All I'm asking for is $1 million so I can run away, retire in Mexico, and never make an album.
Wait, sorry, wrong course.
$4,000 is really all I need in order to record a super fun album. It will include funny songs, rock songs, and mashups. Sorry to be blunt, but I need your money if you want to hear more like this. Consider all this a Costco sample of a Chadney 12 pack that you'll never find at Costco. The only place you'll find it is within your heart. And by heart, I'm talking about your wallet, your purse, your PayPal, or bank account. I'm thankful for even the small amount, cause $57 is really all I need to record an album if it was 1870. But today that much will only buy a half of a chorus. So I'm asking you, please, if you could help a little bit so it won't sound like